Let us read further in God's word from the Gospel of Matthew, and turn with me now to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7. Part of the so-called Sermon on the Mount given by the Lord Jesus, and this is the last chapter of that sermon. We'll read from this chapter and then afterwards turn to the letter of James for our text. So Matthew 7 and then James chapter 1. Let us hear the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. So far the reading of Matthew 7. As mentioned, let's turn now to the letter of James, chapter 1. So we carry on in our study of this letter, and we are at verses 22 through 25. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. And here we read, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So far, the reading of the word of the Lord. James chapter 1, as we consider these words from one of the Lord's servants, James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, "And beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, no one can miss, surely, the point of James in these verses, as he is writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to say to us, listen, make sure you don't only hear the word of God. Make sure you don't only hear, but make sure you also do the word. Make sure you are a doer of the word of the Lord. Whatever its instructions, whatever its directions, whatever commandments may be set forth, don't just hear. Commit to doing. That's the point. And we can't miss the point. It's so obvious. It's so blatant. It's so clearly stated. And likewise is the power of the illustration that James uses in verse 23 when he says, "If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." So just imagine that for a moment, finding a mirror and looking into it, and look at that. Your hair is a mess, and your face is dirty, and you've got some green things between your teeth. So let's say we see that. We see that when we look in the mirror, but then we turn away and we just carry on. Don't do anything about what we saw. Don't find a comb. Don't find a washcloth. Don't get out our toothbrush. Well, that would be pretty silly, wouldn't it? If you didn't do anything about what you saw in the mirror. But just as silly, James is saying, or actually much worse than silly, is when you hear the word of God, when you look into it like as if it was a mirror, and you see what you see, but then you walk away and nothing happens. James is saying, don't let that take place in your life. Don't read the word of God that way. Don't listen to sermons that way. Don't hear what God has to say. Don't listen to all of his truth and then turn, walk away and forget, and there be no significant impact and effect in your life. Instead, let there be changes in you as a result of what you find in the word of God. Let there be changes. We need to be hearers and doers. In James 1, verse 25, James puts it in terms of looking into God's law. Looking into it, and the sense of the verb is of bending your whole body down to peer into the word and to study it so intently and intensely, to learn it. And not to forget it, never to forget it, but to remember it and then to go away implementing what you have read, practicing what you have learned. Think of Jesus now making the same point in the sermon that we read from him, or part of it, in Matthew 7. The whole sermon is in so many ways about doing. But when he comes to the end of it, then he climaxes with that emphasis, because he says at the end of Matthew 7, and we read that, all about the wise man and the foolish man, and he says, "Whoever hears and does these sayings of mine." Whoever hears and does. We're to be doers. Which, of course, raises various questions and also a very personal question. Are you a doer of the word of God? Are you a doer or maybe just a hearer? See, this morning we are gathered, some of us in person, others of us online. We are assembled particularly to hear the Word of God, and that's important. God calls us first to hear, but if that's where it stops, then we have missed the ultimate point. And that's what James is trying to drive home. Don't be someone who just hears. Hear and then do. And so let us ask ourselves that question. Is that who we are? Is that what we seek to be about? Can we be described as doers of the Word of God? Well, what James writes in these verses can help to motivate that and encourage that. And so let's study this in some more detail. Doers of the Word of God is the theme. And let's see, first of all, the Word in view. The Word that's in view. And now, why do we start with that? Well, it's because of the way James describes the Word. So he's saying you need to do the Word. Well, what is this Word? Already in verse 18, he describes it as the Word of truth. Just before our text, verse 18, you have been brought forth by the Word of truth. That's already significant, of course. God is a God who cannot lie. Lies are all around us. The words of men are many times lying words, never so the Word of God. And that sets God's Word apart. But even more, notice verse 25, the way James refers to the Word of God in that verse. Verse 25, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. Have you ever thought about the Word of God as the perfect law of liberty? It's a startling description. It's actually a very beautiful and very powerful description. What does it mean? Perfect law of liberty. Well, if we start with that word perfect. Perfect means it's full, it's complete, it's everything. There's a sense in which we can say nothing is lacking in the Word of God. All that we need to know concerning Him, concerning ourselves, concerning the way of life, concerning salvation, concerning obedience, everything we need to know is found in the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, we read elsewhere in God's Word. But then notice that word law. It's the perfect law. In other words, it's a rule. It's about teaching us and directing us in terms of the way that we come to life and in the way that we live our life. That's the word. It's not simply information. It's about transformation. It's about ordering our life, our thoughts, our words, our priorities and passions, everything about us, our conduct, our behavior. The Word is meant to guide us and regulate our lives so that we fall into line. Really, you can think of it like this. The Word draws out for us the portrait of Christ and then seeks to conform us to that portrait in our whole life. In that sense, it's God's perfect law. But maybe you don't like that word law. Maybe you, at some level, bristle to think about needing to be constrained or conformed by the law of the Lord. Law talk always brings to mind bondage to you. And that's often how we can think. I mean, it shows up in so many areas of life. Who likes rules? Whenever someone says, and here are the rules, we many times can chafe at that. We like to be free, we think. We like to be independent. But notice what James says in terms of this word. It's the perfect law of liberty. That may seem like a contradiction. It's not in the mind and will of God. It's all about true liberty. In other words, deliverance and freedom. So that means that the word is all about helping us to live as those who are truly free. See, that's the way James thinks of the word of the Lord. The Word of God is the perfect law of liberty. Now, how does that exactly work? Isn't it here that we have to remember that the Word of God lays out for us how we are by nature in the prison of sin and guilt and in bondage to service to Satan. The Word of God lays that out for us, shows us how that came to be and what that all means. And that's no life. Many times people think it is life. That's all they know. That's part of the blindness of sin. They're in prison and they don't think it's prison. But the Word of God gives us clarity, helps us see. And likewise, the Word of God lays out for us the work that God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ, to set sinners free through His own death and His resurrection, through His overcoming the curse and the judgment that we deserve. And thereby, every sinner who turns to Him by the power of the Holy Spirit, He sets free. The Son of Man will set you free, is what He Himself said. And when He sets you free, then He sets you free to live as He meant you to live, as you were created to live. And the whole point is to see you and me thrive and flourish. That there's a beautiful freedom in obedience to God, because now we have found our groove, now we have found our niche, our purpose, our aim. Just to give one example, think of the Word of God with regard to our sexuality, how we are to live in purity and with self-control. And if in the context of marriage, then biblical marriage, one man, one woman for life, and in that state we're to live in all faithfulness. So that is what the perfect law of liberty declares. Now, what we find is that man is constantly rebelling against this. Man is breaking this law at every point and in terrible ways. And all the time people think they are doing well and they think we are finally free, but of course they are not. Because when you live in defiance of the perfect law of liberty, when you live without Christ and without the Spirit, then the only life you have is one of being locked away in the prison of sin and death. But whenever a sinner turns to Christ and receives the Spirit and begins to walk in new obedience to this Word, including the Word of purity and self-control and faithfulness, see, that's really when life begins. That's when freedom becomes real and rich in our life, because now we are free from guilt and we are free from the power of sin, from having to sin, and we are free from the ruin and misery that sin brings. And now finally we start to live. And now we understand what Jesus means when He says in Matthew 11, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then He says, "Take My yoke upon you." Sounds like take my law upon you. In a way, that's what He's saying. Take My yoke, My law, and learn from Me. And then He says, My yoke is easy and My burden is light. And later on, the Apostle John will confirm that in one of his letters when he says, God's commandments are not burdensome. How could they ever be? They are part of the perfect law of liberty. And so the point is, this then is the word that's in view. Isn't it helpful to hear James describe it in this way? Is this how you have thought about the law, the word of the Lord, as the perfect law of liberty? Isn't it helpful? Because it reminds us that the Bible and the Christian faith is not meant to be about cold, stiff, rule-keeping, without joy, without freedom. It's the very opposite. The Bible is the perfect law of liberty, revealing to us the way to live and to prosper. The relationship we may have with the triune God is what sets us free, involves the restoration of our soul and the renewal of our lives and redemption from all that would restrict us and eventually destroy us. And now this is the word that James is saying. Make sure you don't just hear it, but do it. And when he describes it in this rich way, how we should thrill to what he is saying and respond with, oh, of course we will keep this law. We will do this word. There's no word like it. So doers of the word, especially in view of the word itself. But then notice another point that James makes. So he doesn't just talk about the word, but he talks about the danger that is lurking and the danger that we need to avoid. And that danger is clear, according to James. We've already been mentioning it in a way. The danger is that we only hear and don't do. The danger is that we only hear and don't do. And that can happen, can't it? Maybe we have seen that in our own lives. How we can be hearers, and we ought to be hearers. James has made that point already back in verse 19 and 20 and 21. We ought to be hearers of the word. Many people will perish in this life simply because they do not hear, because they will not hear, because they never hear. So it is important to be a hearer of the word of God. It's also possible to be a very good hearer of the word of God. You can be someone who listens super well. You can be someone who has a good memory. And you can be someone who even is able to comment on the word. You're very knowledgeable. You're able to discuss it. That's part of hearing. But see, right there we meet a temptation. That's what James is highlighting here. And the temptation is that we stop with hearing. We just hear. And we don't do. We hear, but there's no application to our life. No application to our thoughts or words or behavior. So that it's not clear in our life that we know the word. Because there's no reflection in our way of life that that word makes any difference. Now probably all of us know this at some level by personal experience. We can hear the word. We can read it. We can study it. We can be expert in it. Oh, I know the word, we can say. I know what God says. But there's no impact upon our heart. And there is no life change as a result. And notice how James is warning us here of the danger. Because he says in verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Why does he say that? Deceiving yourselves. How do we potentially deceive ourselves with hearing but not doing? Well, isn't the point this, that we can think, well, because we have heard the word, because we know the word, because we can talk about the word, that's good. That's enough. Our salvation is sure. We are word people. But James is saying, no, that's not enough. You have to watch out. You have to be careful. If all you do is hear, if that's where it stops, you very well may be deceiving yourself. Not be on the way to life. Here, let's remember the words again from the Lord Jesus in Matthew 7 to do with some people who will say to him in the last day, Lord, Lord. And then they will list all of their accomplishments, all of their religious activities. But then Jesus says they won't enter the kingdom of heaven because in spite of their talk, in spite of their knowledge, in spite of their involvement even in Christian service, they didn't do the will of God, but they were in fact workers of lawlessness. And we have to consider that. And we have to ask ourselves the question, what is it like with me? Do I only hear or do I also seek to do? So for instance, when the word sets forth your sin and guilt, it points it out. And the fact that you need to repent. And again, that's our whole life. It is so possible to hear that and say, well, clearly repentance is important. And to think that that's enough. And meanwhile, you never repent. So you've only heard, but you're not doing. And you're not saved. Or when the word says, not only repent, but believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because no one but He can save you. And He is willing and able, and He calls you and invites you and summons you. Yes, truly and freely, any sinner can come to Him at any time and never will He turn anyone away. Never. It's possible to hear that and believe that. But if you don't respond to that, if you don't come and turn and trust in Him, if you never fall on your face before Him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If it never comes to that point for you, then all you're doing is hearing and you're not saved. Even while you may think you are. Perhaps some of us need to think very hard about this. Perhaps some of us, if our life has just been hearing and we've been content with that, if that's you, you need to understand James is saying you're in great danger. Or what about when we have turned when we say we do trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we think about all the ways the Savior directs us to live in thankfulness to Him for so great a salvation. What about that word or those words? And let's realize, of course, that the Word is full of direction on this point. Think of all that it says regarding our earthly relationships, how we're to be, for instance, as husbands and wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Or how we're to be as parents and children. Parents, training up your children. Fathers, not provoking them to wrath. And children, obeying your parents in the Lord. How we're to be as brothers and sisters. How we're to be in the church. How we're to be with our neighbors. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. That's the Word of God. Think of the way the Word directs us with regard to our money. It has a lot to say about money, about saving, spending, sharing. Think of the way the Word directs us with regard to our free time, with regard to what we hear or watch or read or play or enjoy. Think of the way the Word directs our attitudes, our speech, our conduct, what it says about worship, what it says about our witness. Really, on and on, every aspect of our life comes into view under the microscope of the Word of God, and the Word of God is specific. And it is part of living out that new life that God gives us in Jesus Christ. And it's the way that we show Him our thanks and our praise. And the big question, we know what the Word says. We're hearing it. Are we doing it? Do we aim for that? Do we strive for that? Is that the reflex of our heart and soul in response to the Word of God? Every time we open it, every time we listen to it, are we thinking, let me learn this so that I can do this. In response to the perfect law of liberty, if we don't hear and do, James is saying that's not good. And not that we can ever do the will of God perfectly. That's not the point. And all the time it's true we need forgiveness and renewal, and that's part of what the Word of God directs us to do, to flee to Christ and to confess our sin and to look daily to Him for grace to please the Father. So that's part of it, of course. But if we're not at all doing the will of God, no matter what the Word says, we just don't do, then we may still well be lost. And if we don't think we're lost, we may well be deceiving ourselves. Because God's people are marked by this, that they seek to do the will of God. Well, this is what Jesus taught, and this is what James is teaching. And it's true that we need this teaching, don't we? We need this strong word even, and this warning. And if it humbles us this morning, so that we have to confess we're not doers of the word, not repenting, not believing, not obeying. We're not doing any of that, perhaps. Maybe we have never done it yet. Or maybe we have started, but for some reason or other, we have been stumbling. We have been forgetting, or we have allowed ourselves to become distracted. Whatever it might be, if we are humbled this morning under the Word of God, maybe in your life there is one or another area of clear disobedience, and you know what that area is. Or maybe in your life there's not so much disobedience as simply failure to obey. Whatever it is, let us hear the Lord's call to change. And let us fall on our knees and say to Him, Lord, forgive me. Help me. Work in me. I don't want just to hear and not do. And I don't want to be one who deceives my own soul, thinking that if I just hear, that's enough. Doers of the Word, in view of the Word itself, and to avoid the danger of self-deception. And then thirdly, the encouragement that James gives us here has to do with the blessing that we may expect. The blessing that we may expect. End of verse 25. The one who hears the word and does it, James says, this one will be blessed in what he does. This one will be blessed. So what's the blessing? Well, James doesn't define it as such, does he? But can we not say that the blessing has to do at least with this, the smile of God upon our life. The smile of God. And not that we have earned it by our doing the truth that he sets forth in his word. No, it's always through Jesus Christ. He did the will of God in a perfect way, and he did it for all his people. And that is our acceptance before God. That is our legal acceptance before the Lord. Nevertheless, when that acceptance is ours, when we are believers in Jesus Christ, then we may live in such a way that we please the Father. Paul writes to the Colossians, and he says, I want you to live in such a way, Colossians 1, that you fully please the Father. And we do that by trusting him. And we do that by obeying him. And we do that by walking in his ways. And we may know that when we so seek to live, God responds to that. God blesses that with his smile, with his favor. And that doesn't mean that, well, then everything goes well in our life and we do so great from a worldly perspective. That's prosperity gospel teaching. That the Bible never says that. No, but what it does mean is that whatever is going on in our life, we may enjoy communion with God, who is our life. And that sense that he is pleased with us in Jesus Christ, and that he delights in us through his Holy Spirit, and that he is with us and working in us and helping us. And we are making our way through this life in fellowship with the triune God. That is the blessing that James no doubt is thinking of. This one will be blessed in what he does. Communion with God through keeping the word of God. But something else, isn't the blessing not just the smile of God, but also being able to stand amidst all of the storms of life. And ultimately the storm of the wrath of God as it is coming to this world. The blessing to expect as we do the word of God, including to believe in Jesus Christ and to follow him, the blessing to expect is that while there may be many storms, and there will be, there have been and there will be, the rain will descend and the winds will time after time blow and beat on the house of our life. That is what we may expect in this broken world and in the providence of God. But if we are not just hearing but doing the word of God, then the blessing is that no matter what happens, we will survive and the house of our life will stand. And especially when God comes in his judgment to this world and Jesus returns to destroy all of his enemies and wrath and fire will descend. But if we are among those who have learned to hear and do the word, we'll make it. We have believed in Jesus Christ. We have followed after him, and he leads us into life. That's the blessing. He leads us into life, into a rich and abundant life, including fellowship with God in all fullness and fruitfulness for him in all things. And what's more, the blessing will culminate then in life everlasting. The blessing we experience here will pass into all fullness and perfection in the world and life to come in the presence of God himself, rejoicing with him and with his people, rejoicing with exceeding great joy. This is the blessing to expect, and we may expect it indeed. This one will be blessed in what he does, in all his doings, and in all his ways. Well, shouldn't this help us? God's promising blessing to all those who do his word. If you don't want to do his word, you turn away from blessing. How does that make any sense? When you do his word, you turn into the way of blessing. And this ought to make us say, Lord, help me always to do your will. Yes, and to realize that if we don't do it, we don't just turn away from blessing, but we turn to cursing. Think here yet of the way it's put in Revelation 22, verses verse 14 and 15, just as the Bible is about to close. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. That's not teaching salvation by works. That's teaching salvation showing up in faithfulness, in obedience, in thankfulness and praise, and so entering into the presence of God. Yes, they may enter through the gates into the city, but then the Bible says outside the city are dogs. Think of wild, mean, angry people, and sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Where are they? Outside. Outside. For those who won't hear and do. Or hear and don't do. There is no blessing, only endless cursing. So this helps to underscore how serious these words are and this call of James to be a doer of the word. It's like looking in the mirror. And what do we see? And what does God show us has to change? And do we go out and make those changes by his grace and spirit? Let there be no one here who just listens. Let there be no one here who hasn't even listened. No, but listen, hear, and at whatever point the word convicts you, humble yourself before the Lord. Turn to him. Trust in him. And begin to do what he says. All of it. Yes, all of it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word of truth, your perfect law of liberty. Help us to understand that's what your word is. And help us to love it. And not just to hear it and to know it, but also and especially to do it. We confess that by nature our ears are closed to your word. We need them opened. But also our hearts are hard to your word. And we need it softened. And we pray that you will do that great work in our life. And use even this word to convict us. If we have never yet submitted to you, never yet turned to you, never trusted in you truly, Lord, make it so that today we do. And if we are those who do seek and serve you, as many of us confess, we also acknowledge that there's what your word says and there's what our lives reflect. And so often, and to our shame and sorrow, there is a divide and a disconnect. And we have only ourselves to blame. Too many times we hear and we don't do. God, forgive us. And give us new hearts, again, that love you and serve you. And help us to look into your word like we look into a mirror and seeing all that we see and learning all that we learn. To go away and not to forget what we have seen and heard, but to put into practice in relationship to you, in relationship to our fellow man, in faithfulness, in righteousness, in godliness, all the days of our life. Most of all, we thank you for Christ, who heard your word in all fullness and who kept it in all perfection. He is the standard. Even more, he is the Savior. And Lord, above all, we seek to find our refuge, our strong tower, our place of safety in him. For then when the storms come and the judgment falls, our house will not fall flat, but we will stand and you will take us into your eternal glory. Oh God, thank you for so great a salvation. Thank you for so unspeakable a gift. We praise you. We seek your blessing now through your Spirit, and we ask you to hear us in Jesus' name. Amen.